Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
Are we back, man? Are the Eagles back? That's what everybody's saying. No. No. Let me pump the brakes off for everybody. Obviously, we skunked the Raiders, the lowly Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
I was very measured in how I felt about the performance, because I wasn't going to get too high or too low one way or the other. Because if we did what we did, we were supposed to just off the talent alone, right?
Right.
And if we did it, I mean, that would have been expected because our offense has been anemic and been struggling. And it would have been a close game. It would have been a dogfight. And our defense would have made plays down the stretch for us to pull out that win, right? Jalen Hurts played well. Very well, some would argue. He didn't have to do too much. The game plan was very, very simple. Run the ball some more, and then throw it deep. Right? Like it was very simple, and it needed to be. The game plan needed to be very simple against a bad team, against arguably the second or the worst team, right? The game plan was very simple, very straightforward. Just run the rock, play action, hit some deep passes here and there, and you know, we get out of this ball game with a win. That's what it was. Defense played lights out as always, right? Played lights out. Quinyon Mitchell's having an all-pro caliber season. But by no means am I sitting here today telling you, oh man, like, yes, we have figured it out. Philly, we're about to go on a run. No. It was the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not saying that to, I'm not poo-pooing, you know, the performance that Jalen Hurts put on, Dallas Goedert and them boys, like Saquon had a good game. Tank Bigsby, I wish we would have got some more touches. Like, I'm not poo-pooing any of that. I'm just putting it into perspective. It was against the Las Vegas Raiders. If we do the same thing this Saturday up against the Commanders, I'm going to feel the exact same way. Okay, Buffalo really is our last, like, real test of the season.
Right.
Right. Nah, man. I'm not sitting here telling you the offense has figured it out. We are fixed. I'm not gonna sit up here and tell you that Nick Sirianni has put his magic touches on it and we're just gonna go on a run here. No, I'm not sitting here telling you none of that. I'm sitting here telling you the Philadelphia Eagles played very well in a game in which they needed to play very well against the second worst team in the league. Right? Like, that's just what it was. That's not me being pessimistic. That's just me being honest. Jalen didn't have to do a whole lot. Really, nobody had to do a whole lot. And the Raiders have been the get right game for a lot of teams this year, y'all included. Yeah, man. I mean, look, shout out to the offense for sustaining drives. Like, I'll say that. Like, we sustained drives. We let our defense rest, and we were just able to move the ball methodically up and down the field with a very simple game plan. And it was executed perfectly because we played the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm not getting too high. I'm not getting too low. We did what we were supposed to do. So, yeah, man, I'm not, I still feel the same, right? Like, even if we win out these last three games, right, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, like, oh, man, like, all right, playoffs, here we come. Like, we're about to go on a run here. Nah, man, I'm not gonna say it. Like I said, really, like, that Buffalo game is gonna tell me all I need to know about how the first round of these playoffs are gonna go. Like, it really is. Because Buffalo's starting to start today. I mean, they just mounted a 21-0 comeback against the Patriots.
Right.
Right? So they beat the Bengals. They come back to beat the Bengals, beat the Patriots like that. Like, the Bills are starting to figure it out a little bit, man.
Yeah, no, they've been a second-half team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For a couple games now, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be that's our last real test, man. Washington, they already announced that Jaden Daniels, they're going to sit him for the rest of the season. Should have made that decision a couple weeks ago, but here we are. So, yeah, man, I'm just here, man. I'm here. We're going to see how the season plays out. And I do think we get it done against Washington this Saturday. That's weird. The NFL football's on a Saturday. But,
right.
Yeah, man, that's where we're at, dog. That's where we're at. We win Saturday. We clinch the division. Y'all are out. As we have it on here, y'all are literally clinging on to a 1% chance. And with that, Lando, I throw it to you, man. The Dallas Cowboys fell short against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's this, it's like kind of a viral video of this like little league team.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a kid, like the team clearly just lost. They're like all walking with their pads off and stuff. And there's a kid, he's like on the verge of tears.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, players, this is not on you. It's the coaches. They suck.
The kid is saying this.
Yes, the kid is saying that about his like to his teammates.
Yes.
It's a hilarious video. That should be Dak Prescott, Quentin Williams in that locker room.
Yeah.
Because what we saw from Matt Eberflus in this game and for the entire season, I mean, I've almost never seen anything like it. Week after week after week after week, we make every single quarterback look better than they ever had. It's ridiculous. I mean, I know he's your guy, but JJ McCarthy has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the entire league this year when he's played.
Yes, but I will say Dallas included, but like these past two games, he has been playing his best ball.
He played decent in the Detroit game.
He had two touchdowns, an interception, and then
decent.
Yeah, his best ball though.
That's what I'm saying. If that's his best ball and the rest of the season
now,
he's been awful, that tells you everything about this defense that you need to know.
Yeah.
Shout out
to JJ McCarthy though.
It can't even, and it's not shout out to JJ McCarthy. It's the shout out to Jacoby Brissett. Shout out to Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Shout out to who else have we played? Bryce Young. Shout out to Justin Fields. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Did Justin Fields have a decent game against y'all?
Yeah, his best game. He played awful all year, but it was his best game. And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that. It's impossible to field a decent, successful team. I mean, we're literally going to go 8-8 this season. I'm not. I would not be surprised if we lose
to
the beat the Giants. I mean,
play the Chargers. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. We lose to the Chargers and then beat the Commanders and the Giants, and then we'll be 8-8-1.
Yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous. And I mean, not to mention in this game, I'm also you've heard my theory. Losing to the Minnesota Vikings as the Dallas Cowboys is inexcusable. Brian Schottenheimer, that's on you as well. I wouldn't want him as my coach anymore. I was done. That's ridiculous.
Wait, say it again.
I don't want Brian Schottenheimer as my coach anymore.
Wow.
There was entirely too many. It was almost how the defense looked a little bit better after getting Quentin Williams. Yeah, the defense is going to look good with Quentin Williams.
Yes.
Brian Schottenheimer leading the number one offense is not because of Brian Schottenheimer. The pitfalls of this offense, 1,000% on Brian Schottenheimer. We've seen this. We've seen Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and whoever else lead the number one, a top three, a top five offense multiple times. Every time Dak Prescott is healthy.
Yeah.
What Brian Schottenheimer does, there have been entirely too many games where we just are completely, entirely confused on why the offense just can't get it going. I get they were still decent, but they were, I mean, I said they weren't, they were more, they were really good, but there were too many opportunities left out on the field. In the way Brian Schottenheimer calls games, Brandon Aubrey is a blessing and a curse. Yes, he can make 50, 60-yard field goals almost like it's nothing.
Yeah.
But he's a human. He's not going to make them 1,000%. He's not going to be 100%. He's going to miss them. And Brian Schottenheimer, he calls games as if Brandon Aubrey can do it. He can't miss.
You have an automatic three in your back pocket.
And that is an insane way to coach football games.
Yeah.
When you know how bad your defensive coordinator is. So that's why, the same way, Eagles fans, I don't know if you were, but they were questioning Nick Sirianni for allowing Kevin Petullo to be so bad.
Yeah.
That I'm questioning Brian Schottenheimer. Because the thing, and the craziest part about it is, when the defense has inklings of success, it's when they do the things that Matt Eberflus refuses to do throughout the rest of the game.
Yeah.
The Lions game, the first few drives, the few times we got pressure on Jared Goff, we blitz. Don't do it the rest of the game. He picks us apart. J.J. McCarthy, first few possessions, we get a pick. We pressure him. What do we do the rest of the game? Oh, he's all, we can't. That's working. Let's not do that anymore. And he's completely, it's like I keep saying it over and over again. He is weaponizing his stubbornness to the detriment of the team. He is he is so determined to play his scheme and do things that way. He's refusing to let us win. And that is why we currently have a losing record. That is currently why we have a 1% chance to make the playoffs. And that's why there's no guarantee we even win the next three games.
Yeah.
And we really should have realized it my view of how I have that view of like, oh, some teams are just, it's just matchups with something, like some teams just can't beat other teams. And I think that is because when it comes to the Cowboys, that's true.
Yes.
The Minnesota Vikings, my theory was it was the Minnesota Vikings to be as good as they want, no matter what, because in the past, we beat them no matter as good as they were. This is a terrible Minnesota Vikings team, and we lost to them. So maybe it could be a coaching matchup, but with the Cowboys, that's always true. We don't ever beat the teams we can't beat. Yeah. This is why we lose to the Broncos. And I mean, the Broncos are a great team this year. But that's why we lose to the Cardinals.
The street.
Who have only won two games all season.
Has the Cardinals only won two games?
I can't remember who else they might. I think they beat the Raiders, who have only won two games, which was against week one against the Patriots. I don't know. I don't know who these bottom feeders have beat, but I know they've been bad now. But I know we lost to the Cardinals because that's for some reason we just cannot beat that team. And I think that it's just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a culture thing.
But this dates back before Brian Schottenheimer.
I was saying that to say that I should have known that earlier in the season when, for multiple season thing, the is beating the Giants. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott has lost to the Giants twice in his entire career, and that was both his rookie year. And he almost lost for the first time. This has got to be the closest he's lost to them in years. And it was, I mean, and Matt Eberflus and our defense did everything they could to make that happen.
Yeah.
And luckily, the offense just refused to. And the defense, they got one stop. And I don't know what Russ was doing on that last pass. He just kind of chunked it up in the air and ended it with an interception. But other than that, that was the one play they made. And yeah. I think that he has to be gone. He cannot come back. Early in the season, Jerry was saying one of his biggest regrets with the team was not being able to have a defense coordinator stick around and come get some continuity. And I was very scared that he was going to hold on to that sentiment. But actually today he was asked about it. And he referenced how he said that basically along the lines of, in his opinion, a coach should be able to adjust his scheme to the players he has, and he believes that the players
Did they ask him like specifically about like Matt Eberflus not adjusting?
No, they never do. I don't know what the I didn't listen to it. I just saw like quotes about it, but he was saying how they should be able to adjust to the players he has, and he thinks that the players they have are good enough. Now that I mean I don't agree with. The players could be better, but I do agree that a defense coordinator should be able to at least adjust his scheme to have.
Yeah, I mean any
in position,
any coach, right?
Like, right, and then he was.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
He even referenced how they asked him how was he basically something along the lines, was he surprised how JJ McCarthy had his best game? And he kind of referenced what I said, how that's kind of been something we've seen all season, how a lot of guys have had their best games against us this
year. Jerry was expressing that?
Yes. And so it's like that kind of gives me hope that he
sees.
Yeah, that he realizes the main problem. The elephant in the room,
yeah,
and he makes the right choice this offseason.
Right. I think, too, you know, the Cowboys compared to a majority of other teams in the league, right, like head coaches get the majority say of, like, when a guy goes.
Right.
I think in Dallas, Jerry is obviously.
Well, that is true, and I will say Matt Eberflus is one of the only coaches on the staff that wasn't a Brian Schottenheimer hire. We brought in Eberflus first.
Before Brian Schottenheimer
got actually good, yeah, he actually,
yes, that's interesting.
And so, and to me, and with Brian Schottenheimer, if they were, I don't think they will. I think they'll give him another chance. But
no, yeah,
if
I don't.
If they were to get rid of, I wouldn't be upset. And if they do bring him back with a new defense coordinator, I'm willing to see what he's able to do.
Yeah,
but I don't.
You're just over it.
I definitely appreciate some of the culture things he did bring. I know the players really like him, although that's not really saying much. They really like Mike McCarthy.
Did they like Mike McCarthy?
Absolutely. Never heard a single Cowboys player say anything negatively about Mike McCarthy. And even Jason Garrett, the only person who's ever had anything negative said about him was Dez, which,
yeah.
I mean, I'm team Dez without whatever he said, but I mean, that's why I'm just saying they like him isn't saying much, but
yeah.
I do think they enjoy being coached by him. So
yeah,
I think that Jerry has a big decision to make next offseason. He has a big draft coming up, and obviously the draft is more than a decision, but for just a reference, the decision of the draft and what he chooses to do with Matt Eberflus will determine the success of the team next season, because he could draft whoever he wants.
Right.
But if Matt Eberflus comes back, the team will not be successful.
Right. Right.
No, I mean, 1,000%, I hear you, man. I hear you. I don't think, obviously, you know, emotions are running high. You feel very strongly about this. I don't think Brian Schottenheimer's going anywhere. I know y'all's offense has stalled out a little bit these past couple games.
Another thing is I hate how, and this isn't a Brian Schottenheimer thing, it's just something that's happened here and there. It kind of happened with when Amari Cooper was our number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Letting another team just take away one of your receivers, one of the most infuriating things in the world.
Yeah, George Pickens was kind of MIA.
It's been 2 weeks. I'm not, obviously, that again, like I said, after last game, that doesn't discredit anything he did all throughout the rest of the season. But obviously, where we were at in the season, though, where we were at, obviously, after the trade deadline, every game, like I said last episode, every game was a must win.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't just say, oh, these last two games were a must win and he didn't perform well, because the two games before that were also, 3 games before that were also must wins and he played amazing. So, but it is just infuriating to see that it's almost like y'all have no way to adapt. Like, oh, he's killing one way. Oh, so they decide to, if he's going to kill us, it's not going to be how he's been doing it all season. And they just say, oh, well, if he can't run his slants, we're just not going to let him do anything.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I think he's I was saying, even when beginning of the season, when it seemed like the only route he was running were just go balls, which he was catching, or he was drawing penalties, it was working. But it seemed like that was the only way we were using him. I think he's a much better receiver than that. He's a much better, yes, when he gets the ball on a slant, he can do magical things. We've seen he's been jumping over people, breaking tackles, scoring touchdowns, the whole nine yards. But he's a much better receiver than limiting him to this or that. You're taking him out of the game yourself when you do that.
Yeah.
It's like I was saying before, we played the Broncos and they have a guy like Patrick Surtain over there. If I was an offensive coordinator or head coach, I don't care who is over there. If I lose this game because I'm trying to get the ball to my best guy being guarded by Darrell Revis, oh freaking well.
Oh, freaking.
He's going to, like, I think CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens are one of the best receivers in the NFL.
Yeah.
That guy over there is one of the best corners. One of the others should have to prove it.
Yeah.
And that's that. We're going to play we're going to do what we do, and you beat yourself at that point.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like somewhere a lot of this frustration from toward Brian Schottenheimer is.
Yeah.
But I just think that offensively, obviously 1,000% of the blame goes to the defense for the season, for the shortcomings of a lot of these games. But I just think the offense, they had a few little shortcomings. But
yeah.
And it sucks to even bring that up, because it was early in the season. They were like, I feel like this season's going to come to a point where a lot of these games, people are going to like point fingers at the offense for like one or two mistakes when the defense gave up. It's like, oh, Javonte Williams fumbled and he lost us the game. Final score 52-48.
Right.
Like,
right.
And so it's like, it just sucks to even kind of think about it, but it's just, at the same, there were opportunities there, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, to play at your best in the NFL means to be able to play complementary football, right? And both of our teams have struggled with that mightily in the opposite direction this season, right? Our offense can't figure it out. Your defense can't figure it out, right?
Man, I said last episode, a Kevin Petula offense mixed with defense would be the worst team of all time.
It's maddening. Like, it's actually maddening, because it's like, you're the Dallas Cowboys, you got a top five, top three offense in the league, and my defense can't even get three stops. Like, three, right? And then the Eagles got a top three defense in the league, and we're just carrying our offense some games, man. Even in a game in which my quarterback turned the ball over five times, and we still had a chance. Everybody keeps talking about overtime with that game. I'm like, y'all don't realize we had a chance to win it in regulation.
Right.
Hey, Jalen Hurts turned the ball over five times, and we still had a chance to win in regulation and couldn't capitalize. So, now I hear you, man. I hear you. And it's funny because, you know, when you bring up Brian Schottenheimer, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but he was quoted as saying, like, he told Dak Prescott, don't ever let him coach scared like that again, right? Like, right. Don't coach conservatively like that. And
there was a difference from the Broncos game in the terms of, like I said, my brother and I were watching that game, and we saw it. We were like, they're doing exactly what we thought they would do, what we were fearing. And I don't think that's what continues.
They is in the Cowboys.
Yeah. In terms, they played scared in that game. But the rest of the, I don't think they played scared in these last two games in terms of the offense. I just think they played predictable.
Yeah.
They tried to do exactly what they had been doing all season, when they know exactly what you're trying to do, and they didn't do anything to change that.
Right.
That's where I think that would kind of have. To give him credit, I don't think he played scared since that game.
Yeah.
The predictability of the offense is kind of where the shortcomings started to come from.
Right. And I'll say this too, because like Brian Flores, man, he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. Like, he'll never sniff a head coaching job again, but he's a really good defensive coordinator. And the Vikings, they're out of the playoffs and all this and that. They got questions at quarterback, and JJ has to figure it out and everything. Say what you want, but they still have a top-notch defense. They only added pieces from last year. They just haven't been able to put it all together, obviously. But so, yeah, I mean, he had a you schemed up a pretty good game plan, and they executed to perfection for the most part, right? But no, I mean, I hear you. Brian Schottenheimer's not going anywhere, obviously. Nick Sirianni's not going anywhere, obviously. But the caveat is, right, if for whatever reason Brian wants to run it back with Matt Eberflus, or Nick wants to run this back with Kevin Petullo, then yeah, at that point, like I've said before, they will be held liable for whatever comes after that.
Definitely.
Right? I mean, Kevin Petullo, him and Nick Sirianni literally go back like 9 years working together, bro. Like, I'm telling you, like, that's his best friend.
Yeah,
like that. And he is going to ride this until he cannot anymore.
Right.
Right? And I think he's earned the – because everybody's talking about, you know, Jeffrey Lurie and Harry Roseman. Like, no. They're not going to let that happen. I'm like, dude, Nick Sirianni has taken you to two Super Bowls. He's already won you one. Mm-hmm. If that hasn't earned him at least enough cachet to be like, all right, fine. Like, you have this season with him. If it doesn't work, he's gone. I don't know what does that, right? So, yeah, I really think that's what's going to happen. And again, Nick Sirianni's been more hands-on in the offensive game plan these past 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing subtle changes, whatever. I still don't love what I'm seeing, right? I mean,
it's tough, man. It's tough. It's maddening. I mean, when you're as talented as the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys, and you're looking at the playoff picture, and you got the Carolina Panthers, you got the Detroit Lions might make it, but I mean, they're not what they used to be, right? Obviously. Yeah. The Packers, they're going to make it, but they just lost Micah Parsons for the year.
Definitely.
Right? Like, it's a lot of young teams, a lot of fresh teams. Like, it could be ours for the taking, right? It could be, but yet we can't get out of our own way. Dallas can't get out of their own way.
I mean, you said it, man. I mean, we know the number, man. Dallas is sitting at 1%, right? If we win Saturday, it's over. It's a wrap. So, yeah, I mean, there's some soul searching to do in Philly. There's some soul searching to do in Dallas. Obviously, for the Eagles, it's great to get back in the win column, obviously. But, again, it was the Raiders, man. It was the Raiders. We did what we were supposed to do. We got the Commanders coming up with no Jaden Daniels. So we need to do what we're supposed to do again. Zach Ertz is also, you know, obviously tore his ACL. I think he's going to retire now. So, yeah, we need to handle business against the Commanders. Like I said, for me, our last test, man, our biggest test is going to be the Buffalo Bills. But let me ask you something. I guess if for some godforsaken reason we lose to the Commanders on Saturday, I mean, for y'all, because y'all have the Chargers and then the Commanders and the Giants, right? So then, I mean, yeah. So then the Chargers, that's like, cool. I mean, every game for y'all, like, you have to win out at that point. But
if y'all were to lose Saturday and then we beat the Chargers Sunday,
yeah,
I think we would have that percentage would go up, because I think y'all's chances of beating the Bills would be pretty difficult. And at that point, I think we went out. And so then I think it would be, because then I guess it would just be depending on, I don't think there's a chance, because I don't think y'all get swept by the Commanders, because even I don't think y'all lose Saturday.
Yeah.
Even y'all were to lose Saturday, lose to the Bills, I don't think y'all end the season losing out, which that's why it's a 1% chance, because that's what would need to happen.
Yeah.
And the last game is at home, because y'all play them in Washington week. So, yeah. As we'd have to depend on Marcus Mariota going to Lincoln Financial and beating y'all. And because I think even if basically our division is whoever wins the division will be getting that playoff spot.
Yeah.
So I think if we were to overtake y'all and win the division with that in that 1% chance, then y'all would also miss the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I, like you said, I mean, it's a 1% chance.
Yeah, exactly.
1% chance of that happening. So. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, we'll just see. Like I said, I'm not holding my breath one way or the other, man. I will say, because I heard somebody talking about it, like, because everybody, and myself included, right? I'm comparing it to 2023. I will say our defense this season versus our defense 2023, much better. I will say that, but the issues still persist and remain. If our offense can't figure it out and can't find an identity, it doesn't matter how great of a defense you have.
Right.
Right? This isn't the early 2000s where the Baltimore Ravens could just beat you up for four quarters until Trent Dilfer just handed off to Jamal Lewis. This ain't the same NFL, bro. It's not. You got to be able to score points. You got to be able to score points. You got to be able to capitalize on short field position. Got to be able to capitalize when your defense gives you chances, man. And if you can't do that, then it's going to be a short, short playoff run, which is what I'm anticipating from the Eagles, man. Until I'm sold otherwise, that's exactly what I anticipate happening. But, you know, we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. You think they're essentially done. I think they're essentially done, but they do still have a chance. Let's talk about a team that is officially – actually, we're going to talk about a couple of teams here, but let's talk about a team that is officially out of the playoff race. And their quarterback, man, he has hinted at early retirement. He has not played well these past 2 weeks. Joe Burrow out of Cincinnati, right? I'm sure you saw the clip. Everybody's seen the clip now. And you know, that was before he played against the Ravens this past Sunday. You know, Joe Burrow talking about if he's not having fun doing this, then why am I going to keep doing it?
Right.
And in terms of playing football. And I mean, it's very plausible that Joe Burrow could retire early, right, if things don't get better in Cincy. But I don't think Joe Burrow needs to retire. I think Joe Burrow needs to get out of Cincinnati quick, fast, and in a hurry. I think he's way too talented. It's screaming Andrew Luck again, right? Like, he's been – you know what's crazy? They looked it up. So Joe Burrow's played, like, 30 or 40 less games than Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
He's been sacked more than Andrew Luck was.
Damn. That's.
I mean, so look, when you break it down to its root cause and issues, the Cincinnati Bengals have not been able to protect Joe Burrow since he stepped foot back in his home state of Ohio. They haven't been able to protect him. Yeah, you got Ja'Marr Chase. Still think they should have drafted Penei Sewell. But yeah, you got Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah, you got T. Higgins. Cool. What has that gotten you?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've just done a terrible job of building a complete team.
Yeah, dude. And it's like, I mean, I said this last season. I thought they should have traded T. Higgins. Like, I would have franchised them and traded him, bro, because.
I mean, the thing is, they've been to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But I feel like they've never replicated the success. But even in terms of the way the team was built, I've said it time and time again, their defense is the reason they made it to that Super Bowl.
Yeah, back then, yeah.
And now they have one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
Literally.
So if, they're obviously in the exact same position as us, their offense can be one of the best offenses in the league every single game.
Joe Burrow put the MVP numbers last season.
But their defense is just so bad that they're never going to have a chance to win. So if they don't improve that defense, then yeah, Joe Burrow's either going to retire early or he will be out of Cincinnati.
I know I said it before on here, right? Like, I would have given Cincy two seasons. I'm not going to lie, man. Like, I'm Joe Burrow. I'm calling up Mike Brown this offseason. Dude, if y'all do not get me some actual help and protection, and by the way, like, can we finally hit on some draft picks for defense? Can we hit on some guys?
Right.
Right? Shamar Stewart, remember the guy who held out, he has done jack squat all season.
Damn.
Jack squat. I don't even think he has – I think he might have half a sack. He legit might have half a sack. Hasn't done nothing all season. Trey Henderson, the guy you didn't want to pay, you didn't want to trade him either, right? He's been hurt. He hasn't played most of the season for you. The Cincinnati Bengals are a dumpster fire, dude. Like, golly, I feel so bad for Joe Burrow. I really do. But I think he needs to go. I think he needs to get traded. Now, you say that, right? And it's like, well, where does he go? Where does he go, right? You could throw out the Los Angeles Rams, right? If Matthew Stafford really, Matthew Stafford is in a position to
go out
on top.
Yeah.
Right. And he could win the MVP, run off another Super Bowl.
He's definitely winning MVP. I think he's already
got in the pocket now.
For
in
sure.
The bag. Yeah, he might. You know, who was I? I can't remember. I was thinking about a dark horse the other day watching Sunday. I can't remember, but.
By the way, Shamar Stewart he's played in 5 games.
Come on.
Has 0 sacks. 2 solo tackles.
Come on, man. Come on. Oh.
And 4 assisted tackles.
Come on, man. Come on. And they just cut Jermaine Burton, their third round receiver from Alabama last year, who I thought they drafted. I thought the plan was going to be they drafted him to replace T. Higgins.
Well, maybe he was cuttable, so they had to sign T. Higgins.
Well, yeah. Well, I here's what I thought was going to happen. They drafted Jermaine Burton. I thought T. Higgins was going to get traded. And then Jermaine was going to, you know, step into that number two role. Obviously, right. That didn't happen. He got a lot of issues. A lot of issues.
They probably drafted him. That might have been the plan.
That might have been the plan. And then,
so he was like, oh, he's not going to be able to fill that role.
Well, I think a lot of his issues is off the field. Like, a lot off the field. That dude's got to get it together. But nevertheless, man, yeah, the Bengals, they just have not hit. They got guys playing out of position. They drafted Daxon Hill, former Michigan Wolverine, All-American safety.
Mm-hmm.
All-American safety. What do? They move him to corner. Move him to corner. So obviously I'm watching. I'm like, dude, like Daxon Hill is a safety. He's not a corner. I'm watching this play out live. They just, and it really, you know what probably needs to happen? Mike Brown, the owner, he needs to sell the team. He's one of the cheapest owners. It's notorious. He's one of the cheapest owners. And like, dude, I get it. Like, you know, because not every professional team owner, like not everybody is just swimming in money. I get it. So like, if you know that, sell the team. like seriously, sell the team. You'll get God knows how much. Right, I sell the team. I'm firing Zach Taylor. I never trusted him anyway. I know they went on a Super Bowl run with him. Never trusted him that much anyway. I
might be on to something with that. Sell the team.
I really think so, because it's just like
somebody else should take some of that advice. No, he's not even broke.
Oh, that ain't even gonna happen. You know that's not gonna happen, bro. Like literally.
He's cheap just because.
We land a legit, like, we might be under, 6 feet under by the time a Jones does not own the Dallas Cowboys.
Never had.
You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all can get that out your mind right now.
I will say, you could have probably, it's probably been around the same time, but actually a little longer, but you probably would have thought that about the buses and the Lakers.
Yeah. But people always talked about, like, the buses were never, like, even when Dr. Jerry Buss, like, originally bought the team, he wasn't swimming in it. He low-key went broke buying the Lakers.
Well, yeah, but now they're swimming in it now when they sold them.
Well, yeah, now. But, like, owning the team, they were kind of hemorrhaging money.
Because, like, Jerry wasn't swimming in it in the city. Like, he bought the team for, like, a couple million.
Right, but he had to, like, he had to.
In
his ex-wife had to like help him sign off on getting that money. Yeah, you're probably right, but I
don't think it'll happen. But
no,
it's almost like when the Mavs traded Luka, it's like
you never know.
Yeah,
you never know. But yeah, man, I think Joe Burrow, I think it's time for him to leave Cincy. I think of Joe Burrow and Cincy, and I'm not gonna lie, like I immediately thought of LeBron, right? Like LeBron had to leave Cleveland.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He had to leave Cleveland. Joe Burrow doesn't want to leave Cincy. Joe Burrow wants to bring a chip to Cincy. He has tried and tried. And yet the Bengals have failed him time and time again. I think it's time for him to request a trade, man. And again, like I said, when you talk about teams who could possibly be in for a Joe Burrow, I mean, I think of the Rams and Matthew Stafford goes out on top, right? Man, I don't know. Who else can you think of that might be a Joe Burrow away? Like, seriously.
The Seahawks, if Sam Darnold, like, all these teams with, like, a guy you don't trust. The Colts.
The Vikings. See, it's funny because Seattle, oh, my God. Could you imagine Joe Burrow with Justin Jefferson? We saw that in LSU. Could you imagine?
I don't see. I think that, honestly, I think like sometimes I think like relationship, man, I feel like his relationship with Jamar might like
hinder him from
leaving.
Yeah.
But his relationship with Justin Jefferson might entice him to leave.
Well, and I mean, see, it's funny because, I mean, I don't know. Did you see the Jamar talking about like Joe, like being down? He literally said, like, I've never had to be the one to uplift Joe. He said, but I might have to now.
Right.
Right.
He might be just like, all right, cool. His boy doing what's right for him.
Right. Right. Yeah, man. I just, I, I love Joe Burrow, dude. I do. I think he's a top three quarterback when healthy. I love watching him play. And I think the city of Cincinnati have been doing him a disservice. I really do. And you can miss me with that. Oh, but like he wanted T. Higgins back and he got his weapons. Yeah, well, dude, like he knew they weren't going to give him nothing else.
Right.
He knew they were going to re-sign Trey Henderson, which they didn't. They didn't even trade Trey Henderson, right? They didn't get any old line. Like, bro, like every old lineman they brought in have been bad.
It would have been they would have been even worse. They would have easily been the worst team in the league because they wouldn't have even had an amazing offense.
Like he was just trying to keep T. Higgins to keep pace.
Right.
At least let's
not get worse.
Yeah, man. Like, come on. At least I can put up 30. We can put up 30 and we can just have a chance. Right. So I think it's time for Joe Burrow to leave Cincinnati. I think the Bengals need to do right by him and get him out of there. Like, because straight up, man, if I'm Joe Burrow and I'm telling my agent not to talk to Mike Brown and Zach Taylor, look, man, like, if y'all are going to keep running shop like this, I get it. You got to pinch pennies together, whatever. I get it, bro. I can't. I literally can't. Like, I love this game too much to get beat up like this. And it's sad because he's from Ohio. Like I said, I really think of LeBron because, like, nobody thought he was going to leave, but he had to. Cleveland never, the first time around, they never gave LeBron the support he needed, and he had to leave.
I knew he was leaving.
Huh?
I knew he was leaving.
I mean, fair, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody thought LeBron felt like he was carrying him that much where he was like, man, I gotta go, dog. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I think Joe Burrow, I think it's his time to go. I think his time in Cincinnati should be up, and I hope he doesn't retire. I hope he gets out of Cincy or the Bengals. They figure it out. Mike Brown sells the team, get a new owner in there, get some new blood in there, and they start to build this thing outright for real. Like that's what I hope happens. But only time will tell with that, man. Moving on to another team that is swiftly out of the playoffs.
See what you did there.
That wasn't even on purpose. Yeah, man. The Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, tore his ACL, prayers up to him, had surgery yesterday, I believe. Is it time?
Oh, yeah. Travis Kelce is about to retire.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes will be out for, they'll probably just make, not
probably
play
a couple of games because he got the surgery so early. I think, like you said, Travis Kelce should be gone. Even if he wanted to come back, I'm not going to lie. Like, we're good.
The Chiefs will be picking top five
in 2027.
In 2027 to reload the team.
You think it's top five?
Mahomes, absolutely.
Is Andy Reid still the coach?
Yes. They're not going to move on from unless he retires.
I think Andy Reid should at least really consider retiring.
How old is he?
I think he's mid 60s. I just like. If you're Andy Reid, are you going to be around for a rebuild with Patrick Mahomes? Are you going to want to be around for that?
I mean, I feel like...
And he's not going to coach... You don't think he's trying to coach Patrick Mahomes his whole career, do you?
I mean, why wouldn't you want to finish your career with Patrick
Mahomes? Well, I'm saying, because are you looking at right now how old he is?
He's 67. I'm trying to see, like, how old all the other coaches. I know Pete Carroll's the oldest.
Pete Carroll's the oldest. It's really trending toward the younger side, dude. He's probably like the second oldest coach.
By age.
John Harbaugh might be older than him, but.
Pete Carroll, yeah, 74. No, Andy Reid second, 67. John is 63.
Yeah. I just wonder how much longer Andy Reid wants to, like, seriously, like, and maybe, because Patrick Mahomes, he's 30 now. So, I mean, it's very possible he has another 10 years.
That's the thing. In my eyes, a rebuild for the Chiefs doesn't take too long. If they're picking top five in the 2027 draft,
so you think they'll
they'll be competitive that season and could be back to form the season after that.
But you think they're going to bottom out this upcoming season?
Yes.
I think they got to rebuild that old line for sure. They got their left tackle in Josh Simmons. He just got to stay healthy.
Right.
Right tackle, that's a question mark. Juwan Taylor, we know how bad he is. They got Creed Humphrey. They got Trey Smith. Really, every other position is kind of up for grabs up there, man. Running back, Kareem Hunt's not getting any younger. Isaiah Pacheco, he started off hot, but he seemed to lose a little bit of his steam these past couple years with injuries.
So physical, the way he runs. It was
very, very.
I'm not surprised.
He runs like he's broke. Like he, he runs like he has no home to go back to. And I respect to him. I love watching him play.
For sure.
But Travis Kelce, obviously that, I mean, I know they got Noah Gray. They've had him there for a while. I don't know if they feel like he's going to be the guy to step in after that. Maybe he is, maybe he's not, but you still got to see. Right, you still got to see. And at wide receiver, everybody is convinced that Rashee Rice is a bona fide number one. I think
I don't see it. I think he's a good number two. I think good.
I'm with you. I think he's like their number one right now by default.
Right.
And I think he can be really good at times. But I don't know if I see him as a true bona fide number one wide receiver. And even then, Hollywood Brown signed a 1-year deal. Taquan Thornton signed a 1-year deal, right? Like, you don't, Xavier Worthy, I mean, yeah, he's a speedster, but like, y'all are being able to do the same things y'all were with Tyreek Hill. So,
exactly.
I think it's a lot up in the air with the Kansas City Chiefs. And like you said, rebuilding with Patrick Mahomes, that should be one of the like easiest things to do, right? Because it's not like we have the biggest piece.
Right.
Right, we have the biggest pieces. And we get the right pieces around him.
And he's proven he doesn't need, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Yes, yes. But yeah, man, I don't know. Like I look at that, you know, Chris Jones, he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, I think this might be his last season coming up, this next one.
Last season in Kansas City or last season playing?
Maybe like, he's looking like he's hurt. Maybe it could just be the toll of the season that they have, but
yeah,
from what it just seems
like. I don't think he's going to retire, but I mean, you got to ask yourself how much longer you don't want to keep paying him at that price point.
Well, yeah.
Right. So yeah, I think it's a lot up in the air for the Chiefs. And while you have Patrick Mahomes circled in the middle of it all, right, you still have to put the right puzzle pieces together. So I'm saying all that, and I'm thinking to myself, man, if I'm Andy Reid, like, do I want to go through this? Do I have the energy to go through this? I don't know. I feel like, I mean, dude, like, think about it. You retire, if you're Andy Reid and you retire, right? You're retiring off of 3 Super Bowls in the past, what, 6 years?
Yep.
That's a pretty strong way to go out.
Definitely.
That's a pretty strong way to go out. So, I don't know. It's definitely time for Travis Kelce to go. Andy Reid, I wouldn't be surprised one way or the other. If he retires, by all means, like, to me, there's a very strong argument to make that he might be the greatest head coach of all time.
Definitely.
So I wouldn't be upset. I really wonder. I think there are a lot of gray spots in Kansas City right now, and they gotta wipe that mirror off and figure it out, man. Get to the bottom of it.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Let's go here because you brought it up a little bit.
Phillip Rivers almost pulled off the impossible.
Yeah. I can't say I'm too surprised. I don't think he played. It's not like he just went out there and lit it up, but
no,
he definitely played as well as you could have asked him to.
Yeah, no, he laid it all out on the line. I'm not even, but he, it's very evident he can't throw the ball downfield.
Right.
And he's set to start again against the 49ers. I just, if I'm a Seahawks fan, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a bit concerned. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I expected a better game from them. I really did. I expected a better game from them. I thought Sam Darnold would have played a better game. You got the best receiver in football right now.
Right.
They just could not punch it in that much against the Indianapolis Colts. They just couldn't do it. I expected better from Seattle. I'm not gonna lie. I fully thought. Phillip Rivers was going to get killed. The way the Seattle Seahawks defense had been playing, I thought he was going to get killed. Did not happen. Did not happen. So,
in my opinion, I think it was just like kind of the perfect game for like the outcome kind of, it almost makes perfect sense to me when I look at just how the, because like when it comes to the Colts, their team, even all season, has been driven by their defense. I think Zaire Franklin, their entire defensive line and what they've been doing, they're one of the best units in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think that even when you look at what they were doing offensively, it was Daniel Jones leading them. And while he's younger and fresher than Phillip Rivers, obviously, because he hadn't been retired for the past 5 years, he's not somebody who's been just dominating in terms of what he's done before this season. Now, I felt like the success of their team was, hey, you could plug in anybody who, as long as they knew how to play quarterback, they have a decent chance to win. And with the Seahawks, I think that defensively, they did what you would have kind of expected. They held the Colts to 16 points. So it's not like they were just getting lit up in the Seahawks offense. I just think that I really just don't have much faith in Sam Darnold. I was talking about teams with Joe Burrow. I think that he's not, I mean, I think he's shown us who he is in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, he played great last season, but.
He's had great moments this season, but.
Yeah, I just think that for the most part, he still has that ability to come up short.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, I think he's better than what he's shown us throughout the majority of his career. But I think that
this is probably the best version of Sam Darnold we're going to get.
Right. I think that's kind of the limit of it. I think he's played as well as he could have. And it kind of, like I said, the opportunity to come up short is definitely evident sometimes. And I'm not really surprised that against a defense like the Colts, he was struggling.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. I hear you. I don't know. And it might just be me. I expected a way better performance from the Seattle Seahawks than what I saw on Sunday.
Makes sense.
No disrespect to Phillip Rivers. No disrespect to the Colts. I expected Seattle to come out there and steamroll them. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. But, you know, it is what it is. That's life in the NFL, right? But before we get on out of here, man, it's time for What Say You. This week's topic is non-sports video games.
Yep.
And the ones we like to enjoy. I'll go ahead. I'll take lead on this. For me, my favorite non-sports video game to play, Last of Us. Love that game. Love that game. To me, it's literally one of the greatest games ever made.
Okay. That's like a survival.
It's a zombie apocalypse game. Yeah, but it's like, it's so good. Like, if you have not played it, I'm not even don't watch the show. If you have not played the game Last of Us, go do it.
Do you say you have to play the game first, or you're saying don't watch the show?
Forget the show. Play the game. Play the game.
You didn't like the show.
I think the show had its moments. I think the show, what do I say? I think the show, it skips over some important parts. But here's the thing, like, if you're going to do a show on a movie or a book or whatever, right? Like, you got to make sure you hit all the key points. Yeah. If you're not going to hit the key points, then it's kind of just like, what are we doing? And I feel like the show skipped a few key points. It's okay. It's okay. But I will always defer to the game. Always.
Like, as I have a couple honorable mentions, and then my favorite has a TV show tied to it. And then even the honorable mentions are tied to, like, other media. The honorable mentions are that games I played as an adult are Spider-Man, though, just that entire franchise for PS5, some of the funnest games I've ever played.
I would agree.
And then Hogwarts Legacy.
I never got around to playing that.
That was a lot of fun. It was very immersive. It was very, like, the castle, the graphics of it all.
Was there a nostalgia factor for you there?
Oh, absolutely, because I'm a big Harry Potter.
We grew up on Harry Potter, obviously, right?
But the gameplay itself, I was a big fan of it. They had, you know, fly the brooms, cast spells, do it all.
Now, remind me, that, like, it doesn't follow a set story, right? Like, not a set story from, like, Harry Potter.
No, not at all. It's a completely different story set in a different time period. I think it's years. I think it might be, like, 500 years before the events of Harry Potter, maybe like
what?
50.
Really?
It's either 500 or 50. That's one or the other. Obviously, that's a big difference. But Wizarding World is very old-fashioned in the sense that, like, they don't really update a lot of things. So 550 years isn't that big of a difference. It's not, because you would think, like, oh, the technology, but they don't really do something. That's a whole other story. But that was another really good game. But then my all-time favorite non-sports game, it's more of a franchise, actually, but it's Pokemon. I was a diehard Pokemon fan growing up.
I was, too.
I mean, from my Game Boy, from my DS, watched the show, had the had
Pokemon Go, man, in high school.
Had Pokemon Go, had a little bit of a run on my phone. It had a global worldwide everywhere, but I only tested it for a little years. Bit.
You know where I was at senior year? Like, nights?
Where?
The public library, downtown Round Rock. Just, we were just walking around trying to find everything.
No, it's funny. I remember I was there because I'm a year older than you, right? Two? What do you?
2016.
Yeah, so I'm a year. I remember because I remember being at like ACC, walking around trying to get like being in class and being like, oh, there's a such. But
yeah.
Pokemon Go was definitely a time in history.
Oh.
But just Pokemon in general, man, I spent like a countless amount of hours playing that. Specifically, yeah. If I had to pick one. I'll pick one for Game Boy for like that generation, Pokemon Emerald for sure, and then for the DS when I get that next generation, I'll have to go Pokemon Platinum. Although Heart Gold and Soul Silver are all really fun though. They came with a little Pokeball that you could like basically want. It was almost like a step counter kind of basically, because you could put your little Pokemon on it. And then as you walked around throughout the day, it was like training it, and it would like level up your Pokemon. It was like a add-on that they did, and they don't normally do things like that. So,
man, taking me back for a second. I definitely indulged in Pokemon heavy on the Game Boys growing up. Shout out to the Pokemon series. I'll say this too. Another honorable mention for me, I don't play this game as much as I used to, like in high school, but Clash of Clans.
Mm.
I love that game. I grinded in that game. I did not spend my money. I did not spend my parents' money. I grinded. I stocked up. I saved. And I built my tower, my village, to the best it could possibly be. I just want to give a quick shout out to Clash of Clans because that game taught me patience.
For sure.
Again, I'm over here upgrading towers for like, I'm not even joking, 2 weeks. And I'm just watching the worker hammer away. I'm checking every like 3 hours, even though I know it's gonna say still 2 weeks. Like,
yeah,
man, that takes me back, bro. That takes me back. Shout out to Clash of Clans, man. Shout out to The Last of Us. Shout out to Pokemon. Shout out to all the non-sports games, man.
Definitely.
I want to get into more non-sports games next year, and hopefully. You know, I need to buy Hogwarts Legacy. I never got around to playing that, but I really wanted to.
No, it's really fun.
I need to, growing up,
I always wished there was like a game, because like the being able to customize your own character is like really fun. Like they did a really good job with that. The graphics are just out of this world, man.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Hogwarts Legacy, man. I got to get on that. That's a wrap on this episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And like, comment, subscribe, follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram.
Yep, make sure y'all hit that notification bell. Make sure y'all keep leaving those comments.
Yep.
Let us know how y'all feel about it. Cowboys fans, let us know about the season most likely being over. Eagles fans,
y'all still want Jalen Hurts benched?
So that was crazy.
Come on,
do you think y'all are back? Do you think the season is, you know, headed for a early exit? Well, how do y'all feel?
Should Joe Burrow get traded? Should he just retire? What say you? Should Andy Reid retire? Should he run it back with this rebuild of the Kansas City Chiefs? What say you, man? Let us know how you feel. And until next time, peace.
Later.